All right, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we've studied up into the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. And really, there's so much in this book. And we know that it was probably written by Apollos, who was, Aquila and Priscilla took him aside. Did I get the right names? Yeah. Anyway, they took him aside after he preached at Corinth and taught him the way of God more perfectly. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. Now, we have to recognize that John the Baptist was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ministered under the law to Jews under the law. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, they were cousins, John and our Lord. And our Lord was born 6 months after John. And, of course, Christ came into the world to be the Savior of the world. And John the Baptist was the forerunner. And as Jesus told the Jews, if you receive it, that John the Baptist was Elijah. Now, they didn't receive it. So Elijah still hasn't come. And when we go, I think it's in the 11th chapter of the book of the Revelation, we see Enoch and Elijah, two men in the Old Testament that didn't die. And what's the scripture say? It's appointed on the man what? Once to die. So they were translated into heaven, have been there all this time without without dying. And they will come back during the Great Tribulation period when the Antichrist will be, demanding that he be worshipped as God. And as they minister, they're finally going to be killed and their bodies are going to lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And then the world, and it will be the world because we know that we have worldwide television. The world will see them, their dead bodies rise. And it's going to terrify them. But it was promised of God. And ultimately, God is going to judge the ministry of the Antichrist, come with his saints and establish his kingdom upon this earth. And then we're going to rule and reign with the Lord over a group of people. Let's go back to the 25th chapter of Matthew for just a moment. This isn't commonly taught. It seems that people are afraid to take what the scripture says, read it, and interpret it. And but here in this 25th chapter of, I think it's 25. It says, Let me find my spot here. I didn't look this up ahead of time. Okay, here it is. 31st verse of the 25th chapter. And it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Now, these are people, they're not saved people. They are more than likely mostly Jews who have lived basically according to the law, their interpretations of it. And so, he separates them. Okay, then we have the 7 years, or we have the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And at the beginning of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the Satan, Satan is going to be bound or locked up for 1,000 years. And these people, these are not saved people. These are people that have been obedient to a certain extent to the things that the Lord taught the nation of Israel. And so they're not the out-and-out apostate Jews, but those that have given lip service. So he ultimately says to them, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you," in verse 45, "inasmuch as ye did not want..." Well, let's see, I need to go back just a little bit. Okay, now he's... I didn't go back far enough. All right. Well, anyway, he's going to tell these that are obedient to enter into his kingdom. And they're going to be in the kingdom for 1,000 years. Satan is going to be bound. Now, everybody thinks that everyone in the kingdom age is saved. But they're not. They're going to live in a perfect environment. And I've forgotten the Old Testament verse. It may be in the Revelation too. I can't remember. But if a man dies at 95 or at 100 somewhere, he will die as a child. Okay? Why? Because the Lord's going to rule on the earth for 1,000 years, and Satan will not be here. He'll be locked up so that he can't activate the fallen nature of these individuals who have given lip service, at least, to Jesus Christ, but don't have their faith in Jesus Christ. Then at the end of the millennial reign, Satan is going to be loosed a little season, and these people are immediately going to follow him. And then that's where he says, I think that's over in Revelation. Anyway, they're going to follow him, and they're going to again come against the camp of the saints and try to destroy us and try to destroy the Lord. And then the Lord's going to call down fire from heaven and burn them up. And then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And the interesting thing about the new heaven and the new earth, there won't be a sun. No. The Lord Jesus Christ himself will be the light of the new heaven and the new earth. Now, we know the sun is what ages us. The sun really, we can't live without it, but we can't live with it. Yeah. And, it's just one of those things, I never wore shorts or anything of that sort. And if you look at my legs, they look like the legs of a younger man. Yeah. But if you look at my arms and my head, from all of the damage that was caused, I did climb radio towers and didn't wear a hat in those days, and in the sun constantly. And, you spend 4 or 5 hours on a tower, and sometimes it was that much, or 2 or 3 hours, there's no shade. You know? And so any of my upper body has got all kinds of precancers and all that kind of stuff on it. My whole lower body, it looks like the body of a younger man. Anyway, crazy. But coming back to Apollos, Apollos is teaching Jews. And, the Jews have a lot of things that they have brought directly from Judaism into Christianity. And Apollos, who I believe is the writer, he explains it to us in a way so that we know that Christ has fulfilled these things. The Jews couldn't fulfill the law. The scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, how many people are going to be declared just? None. Okay. So when we pick up in chapter 2 then, it says in verse 5, and people put a lot of stake on angels. And angels are ministering spirits, and they're sent forth to minister to us, but we were created a little lower than the angels. And the Lord Jesus Christ, because he took a human body in order to live his life as a Jew, to live under the law, and to give himself a ransom for sin, he also took a position lower than the angels, even though he created all the angels. Now, you talk about, you know, humbling yourself. That's what he did in order to do what? To redeem us. You know, took a position less than created beings that he created. You know? So now when we pick up in verse 5, it says, "For unto the angels," this is the second chapter of Hebrews, "hath he not put in subjection the world," that's the inhabited earth. There are several words in our New Testament that are translated world, and sometimes it's inhabited earth for mankind, and sometimes it refers to the globe, and, a number of different ways. Okay, so, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him?" Now, this was David in the Psalms, and he asked the question, "What is man that you even pay any attention to?" And, of course, it goes on to say that you're mindful of him. "Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him." Thou madest him, man, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him, man, with glory and honor. Thou didst set him, that is man, over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. That is, as we were created in Adam and Eve, we were born of fallen parents. But as Adam and Eve were created, they were created in the image of God, without a sin nature, without any of the things that plague us. But when Eve was deceived and ate, and Adam, out of his love for Eve, ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that put in our mind intuitively that we can have a right relationship with God based upon the lives that we live. And if we look at every single religious system in the world, and so much that calls itself Christianity, what's it all based upon? The life that you live. But you cannot, I cannot, no one can, lead a life well-pleasing to God that would make them accepted of God. What we do is the Lord redeems us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells us then the just shall live how?
By faith.
Shall live by faith. What's faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, faith is believing that what God has promised, God is able also to perform. Now, can we prove that the Lord Jesus Christ is Creator? No, we can read a verse of Scripture that says that He is. But we can't prove that to anyone. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Nevertheless, we are told to go into all the world and do what? Preach what? The Word. We are to preach a message which the natural man can't understand. And that sounds like foolishness. That's why it's called the foolishness of preaching. So we preach a message which the unsaved world can't understand. But as it goes forth, the Spirit of God quickens or makes it alive to that lost individual and gives them enough faith to believe. And then from that point, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner or custom of some is, but we're to meet together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that day is the second coming of our Lord. And if you just look at all that's going on in the world, it has to be close. How close? no one can say, because no one knows the day or the hour but God himself. Okay. So, how are the just to live? The just are to live by faith. We take the things that God has said. Can we prove them to anyone? No. For you as believers, if I take you from one verse of Scripture to another verse of Scripture, I can prove certain truths to you because you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. You have spiritual understanding. But the natural man or the unsaved man, you can't prove anything to him. Even so, how are we to reach them? It sounds crazy. Preach the word. But they don't understand it. Preach the word. Okay. And faith comes out by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, in our preaching, and we see from the letters that I read this evening about some of our brethren in Nigeria, they appreciate our ministry so much because traditionally they've been taught what the rest of the world has been taught. Yeah. But we're saved by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. And it took the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. So as we continue here, it says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection," verse 5, "the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him, man, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him, man, with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under the feet of whom? Of man. But at the present time, man is lost," you know, or dwelling in a body that has a sin nature. "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him." But then what does it say? "But now we see not yet all things put under him." Now, if we go over to the book of the Revelation and let it unfold, we will see that when the Lord comes in his second coming, establishes kingdom, judges the unsaved of the world, and all of those things that are to take place, we are going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. And as we saw from that portion of Scripture in the 25th chapter of Matthew, there are going to be certain individuals who were religious but lost that are going to enter into the kingdom based upon their good works. And Satan will be bound so that he can't, deceive them. And they'll live for an entire 1,000 years. I've forgotten where the verse is, but it speaks of the fact that if a man dies during that period of time at 100, he'll die as a child. So everyone's going to live a millennium as long as they obey the Lord. Now, those of us who are redeemed, we can't be lost because we've been redeemed. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. We are accepted in the Beloved. But no one ever asks the question, who are these that are going to surround the city of the saints to destroy them? Well, we read about them in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And, I'm sure that there are theologians that have seen it and taught it, but I've never read one that taught who those people are in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. They're unsaved people who have been relatively obedient, and they're going to live, obey themselves or obey the Lord and behave themselves, what I tried to say, then they will live 1,000 years. But as soon as Satan is loose to activate their fallen nature, they will follow him and come against the camp of the saints, against us and the Lord, to destroy us. Yeah. And it's an amazing thing. In the so-called Christian world, we have many denominations that deny the eternal security of the believer. they say, if you're eternally secure, if, in fact, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin, then you could do anything that you want. Well, that's true. But they do anything that they want, and then they just say, well, I had to get saved again. And what does that do? That denigrates the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find in the Pentecostal movement, in various movements, that believe that man has to live a life well-pleasing to God in order to ultimately make it into heaven. You know, if we have to do that, no one's going to make it. You know, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And of us, if we should say, as Christian, that we have no sin, what does the Scripture say? We deceive ourselves, and what? The truth is not in us. Now, good behavior is always better than bad behavior. But there's a catch with good behavior. If people get to the place where they think they're good, who gets the glory? They do, not the Lord. Yeah. They get puffed up in themselves. And so, you know, we don't have to go around all morose about the fact, well, I screwed up again. Well, the Lord knew all about that from all eternity. And He saved you by His grace. And He keeps you by His grace. And His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses that person from what? From all sin. You know. So we have eternal life, and we shall perish when? Never. If we could perish, then no one has any hope. You know. And if it depends upon us in any wise, we have no hope. But our hope is in Jesus Christ. And He was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. And what is the promise to us? Because, not that we live, but because He lives, we shall live also. So our hope's not in us. Our hope's in the Lord. Are we going to say things and do things we shouldn't say and do? Yeah. Yeah. Have we done that? Yeah. Are we going to do it again? Yes. Yeah. That's who we are. We're sinners saved by grace. So, what should that very fact do in each one of us? It's what the Lord says. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Well, they ticked me off when they said what they did, and I got to get even. Well, then the Lord says, well, let me get even with you then. No, he's not going to do that. But if you've been forgiven, what's the attitude to be? We're to be forgiving. Is that an easy thing to do? No, we still have the old Nick in us, so to speak. Live in the flesh, you know. But the more that we know about ourselves and the more that we know about the Word of God, then we can put things in the right perspective. You know, it's not as if anyone is getting away with anything. You know. It costs the Lord Jesus Christ a great deal to do what? To redeem you, to redeem me, to provide salvation for the world. So it says, now has put, in verse 8, all things in subjection under His feet, that is under man's feet, for in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now, at the present time, what do we see? Are we in command over everything as believers? No. We see, but now we see not yet all things put under us. Okay. But what do we see? But we see Jesus. He's our Savior. He's the one that fulfilled these things. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. He created the angels. No. But man was created lower than the angels. So when Jesus took a human body, He took a position lower than the angels that He created. What did He do it for? To redeem us. You know. And so it says, but we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for whom? He paid for the sins of the whole world. Yeah. No one need go to hell. But there will be far more that go to hell than will enter heaven, because that lie of the devil is so much a part of man that, man just doesn't want to humble himself to what he actually is. And, just think about it. And I don't like to think about things that I've done. It's just plain disgusting, because we have a sin nature. And I'm not going to tell you what I've done or what I haven't done. But I'm not going to pretend that I haven't done anything wrong in my life, because that would be a lie. And you can't pretend that you haven't done anything wrong in your life, because that too would be a lie. We're saved by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. But we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So he had to shed his blood because, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood that flowed in the veins of our Lord Jesus Christ was sinless blood. The only blood after the fall of Adam and Eve that was sinless. Everyone else was born with sin-tainted blood, and the natural thing for us to do as people born into this world is to sin. And the scripture says, if we should say that we have no sin, what do? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's not an excuse to sin. That ought to humble us a little bit. But it just shows us who we are. For it became him, speaking in verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. He created this whole universe. And when after the millennial reign, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Or I take that to mean a whole new universe. And in that universe, there will be no sin, period. So, it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain or the author of their salvation perfect. How? Through suffering. He had to shed his blood, give his life to pay for your sins and mine. In him was no sin at all. There wasn't one thing about him that would cause him to die other than the fact that he loved us and willingly gave himself for us. And if that doesn't humble us just a little bit, when we get on our high horse, and we all do from time to time. So it just ought to humble us a little bit. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, in verse 11, are all of one. God created us, see. And for which cause the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, is not ashamed to call you, each one of us. He's not ashamed to call us what? Brethren. That speaks a little bit about our relationship, interpersonal relationship. Everybody gets angry from time to time. And most of the time it's a tempest in a teapot. No real basis for it. But at the time, we think it's very important. But we've been forgiven, be forgiven, and it's over with. And so it says, for both he that sanctifies or sets apart, and they who are set apart, a better word than sanctified, are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. So we're born into the family of God by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and the faith that he gave. We didn't generate the faith that we exercise. He gave us the faith to exercise so that you could believe and I could believe, and as a consequence, we have eternal life. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church or the assembly will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, you know, you and I have a human body. So he says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He took a human body so he could die. Why? Because in God's plan of salvation, it's the blood that makes a covering or an atonement for the soul. But where is the blood? The life of the flesh is in the blood. So the Lord took a human life for himself so that he could live his life as a Jew and fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. That's from the smallest mark in the Hebrew language, you know. Just like in English, we've got a dotting of an I, a crossing of a T, a comma, a period. Those are small marks. You know, they help us to read and understand. And the Lord filled the law to the nth degree. You know, the eternal degree. There isn't anything that wasn't covered by his blood and paid for. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Think about this. The creator of the universe, God the Son of God, is not ashamed to call you or me my brother or my sister. Yeah. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. Yeah. And then he goes on to say, saying, I will declare thy name in the unto my brethren in the midst of the church or assembly. I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children, those that are redeemed, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Now, in his body was no sin at all, because the blood that flowed in his veins came from his father. The blood that flows in our veins came from Adam and was tainted by his sin. So everyone that is born into this world at the moment of pregnancy, you know, it germinated and we have a life, but that life has already started down the road towards death. You may live, die in childbirth. You may live to be 4 or 5 years old. You may, doesn't make any difference. I've lived 90 years, and, I look forward to the day when the Lord says it's enough. Dale, come on home. But until he does, I still feel that he called me into the ministry. And there's no retirement from the ministry. I know preachers retire all the time, but there's no retirement for me from the ministry. The only thing that would retire me is if I couldn't function. You know? And as long as I can, I may not be able to function the way I used to, but I can still deliver some of the things the Lord has taught me over the years and get it down to a personal basis for each one of us so that we realize we have a personal relationship with God. It's in his Son. And we are, all of us, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, we're brethren. Yeah. We're all in the same family. Not all human beings are in the same family. They're all in Adam's family. But in Adam, what? All die. But in Christ, what? All are made alive. So, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? Subject to bondage. We're in verse 15 of the second chapter. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Christ didn't become an angel. He created the angels. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. And so the promises that God made to Abraham, the promises that God made to Adam, the promises that God made in each of those covenant relationships funnel down in the final analysis to everyone who is given the faith by the preaching of the Word of God to believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Wow, what an inheritance. You know, it's really difficult for finite beings such as we to understand what kind of an inheritance we have. And it's not a maybe thing. And it's not a dependent upon me thing. It's based upon the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal or everlasting life. Life without end. The same kind of life that God has. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And when we're born into this world, you know, you get to the point, for me at my age, I know the Lord could take me any day. You know, how long he allows me to live is entirely up to him. That's true of all of us, whether we realize it or not. But at 90, you know, I know it can't be too many more years. You know. But, you know, I belong to him. He saved me. I'm his servant. The whole world thinks that slavery is a terrible thing. But we're all born into this world enslaved to the sin of Adam, who disobeyed God and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, we're all enslaved to the devil. That's why there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And nobody says anything about the fact that they're enslaved to the devil. In fact, they flaunt it. You know, they like to use nasty language. They like to use nasty gestures, and all that type of thing. Man likes to flaunt his sin, you know, and yet he still thinks that when he dies, somehow or other, it's going to be okay. And there's so many people deceived by that lie. Elohim doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be like whom? Like Elohim. Yeah, not so. So he goes on to say, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Think about that. The immutable, eternal God became like one of us so he could redeem us. Greater love hath no man, you know, that he give his life for his friends. And the only one that could do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be what? A merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to do what? To make reconciliation, which, it's, that word, I've got to remember what its root is. Oh, it's hiloskomai, which is to make an atonement for our sins. Really, it would be a better translation. And for in that he himself has suffered, you know, he lived his life as a Jew, willingly took the burden of our sins upon himself, was beaten beyond human recognition, according to the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, and yet we see in the Roman church Christ with a little trickle of blood and a crown and a benign look and a very handsome man. Yeah. Yet the scripture says he hath no form nor comeliness. What's that mean? Outward beauty. That we should desire him because of the way he looks. No. I don't think he's going to be ugly, but he's not going to be an Adonis, so to speak. You know, one of these men that are too pretty. For in that he himself has suffered, being tried, is really what the word tempted means there. He is able to succor or comfort them that are tried. Yeah. So the Lord says, I knew all about you before the foundation of the world. I knew that when I saved you, that I couldn't keep you from sinning because you have a sin nature and it won't be taken away until the resurrection. And because you have that sin nature, you're going to sin. You're going to do things contrary to me, even though I loved you and gave myself for you. Think about that. That's the relationship. That's the God that saved our souls. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, holy brethren, beginning chapter 3, partakers of the heavenly calling, what? God called us to be his sons, and it's totally within the free will of God that you are saved, that I am saved. No. At a point in time, it came to our understanding because he chose us before the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve ever sinned, we were chosen in Christ because God is an omniscient God and knows everything that's going to happen. And those that shall be redeemed were redeemed then. And so at a point in time, the gospel is preached and we come to recognize it. And, you know, so then we say, okay, now I don't have to go to church because I'm saved eternally. So I can go here, I can go, you know. Vacations are fine, but sometimes I think people take too many vacations. When was the last time I had a vacation? All my vacations have been stays in the hospital. I can't remember. I went down to visit my mother, but you don't drive 1,000 miles at 85 miles an hour. That's not called a vacation. Yeah. Anyway, he was faithful to him, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses did what God called him to do. Yeah. This in no way implies sinlessness on the part of Moses. Yeah. Moses was a sinful man. Everyone born to Adam is a sinful man. But God, in the person of Jesus Christ, was through the virgin birth. Why a virgin birth? We've talked about it, and a lot of people don't know it. But it's a wonderful fact that not one drop of your mother's blood ever flows in your body. All of the blood is produced by the father in the genetic structure and so forth. When you germinate that egg, all of the blood is produced by the father. That's why the scripture says, not in Eve, you know, she was the first to sin. But in Adam, all die. So in Christ, all are made alive. I think I'll stop here, because if I read any more, I'll want to preach longer. All right. Just thinking about what the Lord did, and he did it by his grace, and grace is unmerited favor. There isn't any one of us that deserves salvation. But when the Spirit of God quickened that word to our hearts so we realized that he died for our sin, that simple act of faith produced in us eternal life, and with the promise that when shall we perish? Never. Yeah. And there's so many people under the canopy of Christianity that constantly deny the eternal security of the believer, because they want to make man to have a part in the salvation. Yeah. All we can do is corrupt it. Yeah. And that's all the religions that deny the work of the triune God on our behalf in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Those religions that deny that. There may be people in those churches, despite their doctrines, that are actually saved. But if they really believe what they claim they believe, they don't have their faith in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the infinite grace that was bestowed upon us before the foundation of the world, long before you ever created this universe. In your omniscience, you knew that when you did create it, that Lucifer would cause some problems, and then you would create a new earth or reform it, and then create Adam and Eve in your likeness, and then Eve would be deceived, and out of his love would give his life for his wife, which portrays in the typology of Scripture the fact that we are called the bride of Christ, and so all of us that are redeemed will one day be wed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have eternal life, and nothing and no one can take it from us, not even we ourselves. We praise you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.